Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Movement and Mindset Podcast. Before we jump in, I do think it's necessary that I set the scene for you of what's going on right now. So I'm sitting in my apartment and Grant's out of town, so I'm here alone. And Harley's my dog, just so, like, she wants to be around me all the time. Normally there's two of us, so she gets a little bit worn down, but this week it's just me, and or this weekend, I should say. And normally when Grant's out of town, she does get a little bit more attached to me, not just out of town, but like if he goes to work for a long period of time, she gets really attached to me and becomes a little like protective of me. And so right now I'm sitting at my very tiny desk in my tiny chair in my very small podcast setup, and Harley has decided that she wants to sit on my lap but is facing the back of the chair. I took a picture right before this, so I will share it to the Instagram so that you can see, because it is quite hysterical in my opinion. Anyway, welcome back to this week's episode. I'm really excited because this week I sat down with Joanna Cowart, who after this interview, like the interview ends and I had to do a fade out because we ended up just talking so much. Like the interview is about an hour long, and then I think we talked for like two more hours after that. Like we literally talked for so long just about life. So now Joanna and I are like internet best friends and we talk all the time and it's incredible. And we actually are both in a small business group. So every Thursday we meet with a group of female entrepreneurs and just talk about the struggles of starting a business and owning a business and how do I, you know, get people to show up and how do I not go crazy and do my taxes and all of this kind of fun stuff. Yeah, so I'm really excited to share this episode. Joanna's a yoga teacher, but she is the most unique yoga teacher I have ever encountered. She has a completely different view on yoga than I've ever experienced, and I find it really refreshing. And I've actually, like, in getting to know her and in getting to know how she teaches and her philosophy, been able to take a lot of the things that she teaches and put them into my daily life. She led us, our small business group, she led us through a meditation last Thursday. And when I tell you, it has changed my life. I am not kidding at all. So the whole thing with this visualization exercise that we did was that she kept telling us, like, you know, think about what you want, but don't focus on the things as much as you're focusing in on the feelings. Like, really try to feel those feelings and experience those emotions, because those are the things that matter. And that has stuck with me so much. And even just through, like, the last week, we've been, like, touring apartments and looking for a new place to live. And something that I keep telling myself, because we have this apartment that we really, really, really want. And so I've been doing my visualization practice with this apartment and like decorating it in my mind and like really trying to imagine us living there and all of these things. But instead of focusing so much on the apartment, I'm trying to focus more on how that apartment would make me feel, how living there would make me feel. And I'm also stealing this from Joanna, is that I always end it with this or something better. And she talks about that. I think she talks about it in this interview, but it's just such a great way to end your meditation, because it has helped me not be as set on any physical thing and instead be set on, I just want to be happy. I want to have space. I want to be able to not record my podcast and YouTube videos in my bedroom. Like, I want to have a little extra room for that, you know, feel comfortable and be able to separate my work and my life and all of these things. And that's really what I want in an apartment. So I know that this apartment that we're seeing is so beautiful and in a perfect location and it would give me all of those things, but I'm always asking for this or something better. And that is just a small little nugget of all of the information that you're going to get from Joanna today. So stick around for this interview. And if you love it, please leave a review. We'd really appreciate it. And I hope you enjoy. And I'm trying to think if I have anything else to say before we jump in, but I think I'm good. So here we go. Enjoy the interview. Oh, hello. We've got a lovely style and a high, you know. Been riding on your mama's advice. If you tell me how to hike it, we can go far. Joanna, the creator of Downward House, for being here, Joanna.
Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to be here.
Yay! So, how about you go ahead and just introduce yourself, your name, where you're from, and maybe a fun fact about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So, My name is Joanna. My last name is Cowart, which is my married name. And it's kind of the inspiration between the name Downward Cow, and we can get into that. I live in Chicago. Well, I live in the suburbs of Chicago, which is just a lie when I say that I live in the city, but it's just easier to say that I live in Chicago when people think that like the state of Illinois like doesn't exist and just like Chicago is a state.
It's just
like,
Chicago.
Right, that's what people think because like they have no idea. So I live in the suburbs. I have lived here my whole life. I am married with, like I said, my married last name is Cowart. My husband, John, is amazing. We've been together for like 8 years and
oh my God.
We have a little dog. Her name is Daisy. She's a rescue and, you know, we're just living the life here.
I have to ask, is Chicago actually windy?
Yes, it really is. And it's funny because I have lived here my whole life and I literally didn't know that the Windy City was called that for like unrelated weather reasons. Like it's for something else. It's not even for the weather, which it is very windy, like lake effect, wind and snow and chill and everything is totally legitimate. But like it's the Windy City is apparently some sort of like, I don't know, political thing or like something that like is really old timey. And I honestly don't even know what it is. But yes, it's definitely windy. The weather is,
that is so interesting.
Is rough, but you're in New York, right? So I think like you kind of know, you know, it's cold and it's not like you're not knowing what cold weather and chill and all of that feels like. It's still, you know, March and we had like a fake spring where we've had like beautiful weather. Yeah. And then it snowed yesterday. Yep. So like that's
yes.
Great.
Oh my God. We had flurries here. Grant and I, that's my boyfriend. We literally went to the grocery store and it started flurrying. And I was like, I thought it was springtime.
Honestly, it was such a devastating thing. And I feel like a lot of it has melted already, which is good, but it's still just like dark and gloomy. And I'm like, we have winter from October to March. And I mean, like then the rest of it, we have like, I think we literally have fall for like 2 days. And then it's winter, and then we have spring for like 2 days, and then it's summer. It's just like, you know, it's rough, but it's good. We're all good here.
yeah, and with the like big buildings, those wind tunnels can just be like,
oh my gosh, I'm sure they like wreck the worst. You. Yes.
Yeah, they're horrible. Yes. Anyway, weather's fun.
Yeah, right? How funny.
So I want to dive into some yoga myths. So we can just go through like some true or false questions. And if you want to talk a little bit about why it is true or false, sure. Then feel free to do that.
That's good.
So first one is that yoga is easy.
I feel like this is challenging because I feel like it's both. So like I think yoga, it's true in the fact that yoga doesn't have to be hard. Like it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be intimidating. You don't have to know how to do handstands or like crazy poses in order to do yoga. Like it can be much simpler than that. And I feel like that's really a way to kind of get people like not wanting to do yoga because they feel like it's this thing that like is unattainable. And so I feel like it's true in the way that it can be easy. It doesn't have to be so intense, but I also feel like it's false in the way that like yoga is so much more, and we can talk more about this too later if we get into it, like it's so much more than these physical poses. And that's what I learned when I started doing yoga, and especially when I went through my yoga teacher training. Like I assumed, as I think most people do, that yoga is just this like form of exercise and you know, you do these poses and like, that's all it is. But there's 8 limbs of yoga and only one of them is this physical practice that we like know in our Western culture. There's every other limb, quote unquote, or branch of yoga that is non-physical. And it like forces you to like look at yourself and how do you deal with challenge and discomfort and emotions that come up and like all of these different things. How do you just like sit with yourself and how do you live in this like world and what kind of person are you is essentially how all these other limbs kind of come to play. So I feel like it's not easy in that way because it's like way more intense, you know, in like a spiritual or like a mental just kind of aspect. So I feel like yoga is easy. It's kind of like both. Yes and no. That's a long way of saying, but yes and
yeah,
no.
Yeah, no. I love that. I've actually never heard yoga explained in that way.
Awesome.
And when I took your class on Sunday,
yes,
right?
I think, yes.
Yes, when I was in your class, you said something like at the very beginning, like we were just laying down and breathing, and you were like, if you literally sat like this and breathed for an hour, you're doing yoga.
100%.
And I was like, what?
It blows your mind, right? And I feel like, and that's so great that you picked that up. And that's why I really try to be intentional and saying like little nuggets like that, because, right. Mm-hmm. So like breathing, there is a, so like yoga, their language is called Sanskrit, and it's not like a spoken language anymore, but like it was like, you know, thousands of years ago when like yoga mm-hmm. came to be. And their Sanskrit name for breathing and like breath exercises is called pranayama. And it is an entire limb of yoga. Like you can be doing pranayama breath exercises and not even do any other version of yoga, and you can still be a yoga student, you know, like a yoga practitioner. And that's what I think is just so cool, is that like that's what I try to do with this business, you know, not only get people to mm-hmm. realize that like yoga can be simple, like anyone can do yoga. You literally being alive and breathing is doing yoga. Like that is yoga in itself. And I think that that's what I want people to really like learn, and what I want to continue diving deep into this business is like, I want to steer away. Like, yes, physical yoga is beautiful. And I of course teach that. That's the main focus of what I do. But I want everyone to know that like, there's so much more that you don't even, that no one teaches you, because this Western culture that we live in has made it, you know, be fitness focused. And not that it's not, it's still just so much more than that. And so I feel like that's what I want people to kind of like learn from that. And I love that you picked that up in class, because like I said, that's what I try to do, like throw in these little nuggets. Mm-hmm. Like it can be just breathing or meditation. Like meditation is a style of yoga, and it's the highest form of yoga. And just by meditating, like you're a yogi, for, you know, lack of a better word, and that you don't even have to be doing any physical movement by meditating. So like, that's what I just think is really cool about the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I love that. I'm like so excited.
Yes,
to
me too.
Everything. I am like, my mind is like, I like,
oh my God, emotions. I love it.
Okay. Our next true or false is that you need to be flexible to do
false.
Yoga.
A 1,000,000% false. I am not flexible. Not in the slightest, because I actually like the background of me as a human, I used to be a dancer and a cheerleader actually. Like when I was in middle school and high school, like I've done that my whole life. And so I am flexible in certain ways, but I'm not flexible in like others. Like your body can move and bend in a billion different ways. And so like some I'm like really flexible, and some I like can't touch my toes and in other poses. And like, again, as we already kind of covered, it doesn't have to look one way for you to like be doing yoga. Like for you to be able to touch your toes does not make you a better yoga student or practitioner from someone who doesn't. Like as long as you're feeling it in the correct spots, like you're doing it right. As long as you're feeling the benefits, and as long as you're breathing and connecting the breath and the body and all of these things, like you're doing yoga. And so like, you don't have to be flexible at all. Like we talked about, you can breathe and do breathing exercises, and you can meditate, and you literally don't need flexibility for either of those things. And like, you're still doing yoga. So I think, yeah, false 1,000,000%. You do not have to be flexible to do yoga. And I feel like a lot of people say, I'm not flexible enough to do it, so I just can't. And again, not that you need to be flexible in general, but it's also like yoga, the physical practice will help you be more flexible. Mm-hmm. Like that is something like maybe you should, you know, do yoga, the physical practice.
Yes. Oh my God.
Flexible. Like just by saying that you're not flexible, you're just totally discrediting yourself from ever doing any of that physical practice. But like, not only do you have mm-hmm. to be flexible to do it, but also, you know, doing it would probably help your flexibility.
It's so funny that you say that too, because like, so I'm a personal trainer, and I have so many conversations with like potential clients and or like new clients where they're like, oh well, I can't do X, Y, and Z because I don't have the endurance, or I can't strength train because I don't have the strength. And it's like, but that's
right,
what you
exactly 100%. Like by you saying you can't do these things, like knowing mm-hmm. that this version of movement will help you in that aspect, like that's why you should be doing it, you know. 100%.
Absolutely. So my last true or false for you is that yoga is expensive.
Yeah. So I feel like this one is kind of both as well as that other question. And so, yes, it is expensive in the way that our Western culture has like treated yoga. We treat it as a fitness only sort of exercise and movement. And so then we have all these studios that are open and all these brands that like are pushing like the thin white woman who has all of these expensive props and like has $200 a month to be able to afford this studio membership. Like that's, I think, what a lot of people think yoga is as well. Like it is expensive. And so like when you have a yoga studio membership or like when you're paying for these fancy props and all of these things, like it is expensive because like that's the way that this, our culture and our society has treated this thing. And I think, so it's expensive in that way, but like it doesn't have to be expensive. Like when I first started doing yoga, I literally did it for free on watching YouTube videos. And I had a crappy $10 mat that I bought from like Walmart or something. And I did it in my room and my apartment. And I put my mat in between like the wall in my bed. And I put YouTube on my phone. And I did yoga that way for so long. And it was free other than, you know, the $10 mat that I had. So like, it doesn't have to be expensive. And that's one of the things too that I try with this business is like, yes, obviously I am charging for this service, but you know, it's $10 a class versus what would be $200 a month for some other services, like something crazy. Like I want it to be more accessible for people so that it doesn't have to be this like really out of pocket, massive expense.
Yes, I love everything about that. I definitely just feel like with like the health, fitness, wellness industry, I don't know. There's just like this whole branch that it like is makes everything seem so inaccessible because everything is so like quote unquote aesthetic. Or like I saw a post, someone posted this morning about like green juices versus like just eat broccoli.
Right.
Like you don't need to be making everything expensive and this like crazy quote unquote fancy thing. Like you can have frozen broccoli and you're going to literally get the right. same nutrients.
And I think that it's very much social media, like has made this, like this wellness beast that like you have to look this way and act this way and have this much money and eat this kind of food and do all these things. And it's going to be expensive. And, but like, that's the way that the world is. And like, that's the way that it has to be. And like, if you don't,
and you won't get, you won't be healthy or fit unless.
Right.
And you do it this way.
It makes people feel like this is the way that it has to be. And you're wrong if you're trying to find like cheaper versions or you like don't want to have to post about it all the time or you don't, you know, whatever. Like you're made to feel that like, right, you're not healthy if you're not doing it this way. And I feel like in the wellness industry, whether that's yoga or fitness or like, you know, all of these different realms, it's all the same,
right?
Which is really sad because it eliminates so many humans in this country and in this world from accessing wellness in every sort of facet that that they can access it. Like it makes them feel like they can't do it. And so then they don't, and then they don't get the benefits that, you know, they're actually would be able to get by doing these things. And it's so that's frustrating, but I mean, unfortunately that is a societal kind of issue.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. Very, very American societal too, for sure.
Living in America is very interesting.
It's really a thing. So I want to kind of change gears a little bit and talk more specifically about your journey. So what was your first introduction to fitness?
Yeah, so I feel like in the, and again, I'm going to kind of separate the words fitness and the words yoga, because I think like we've talked about, like this society has made people think that like yoga is fitness only. And it's like I said, it's so much more than that. So I think like my first introduction to fitness was when I was probably, you know, like a child, and we used to like play in the playground and run around and do things. And like I said, I was a cheerleader and I played softball and I like did all of these fitness activities with school and with the park districts and all of these things. And I really enjoyed doing those things. But then I got to college and I didn't, you know, I wasn't in any athletics or anything of that nature. And I took my first yoga class in college, but like, I didn't even know what I was doing. Like, I didn't even know that it was a yoga class. Like, I literally feel like I knew yoga, I knew the word and like, I knew it existed, but like, I didn't know what it was. And I think a sorority sister of mine, like invited me to a rec center class. And like, I just did it one time. And then I was like, that was weird. And then I never did it again for like years. And so then like my first experience with like yoga the physical practice, like I said, was when I was at my apartment, you know, and it was really free. I was doing it on YouTube, and that was probably like 3 or 4 years ago. And then I did my yoga teacher training and like learned so much more about the entire thing. And like, it has led me to the path that I am right now.
So what, let's talk about the journey between like you doing yoga on YouTube and then wanting to become a teacher. What was that?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's funny because I honestly don't, I feel like it's like a blur. Like, I don't remember the decision for me. So like when I was doing yoga on YouTube, I just wanted to have like, again, I really don't remember exactly like what was the first thing that was like, yoga is going to be like my thing. Like, yoga is going to be my form of exercise, quote unquote. I think I liked it because like you could do it at your house. Like, if there was free videos on YouTube, you didn't have to spend a lot of money. At least that's what I was doing in the beginning. You could like do it with your shoes off, mm-hmm. you know, like you did it at home. Like, I liked that it was like really accessible. Like, I didn't want to have to go somewhere, pay for a membership to do exercise. I had tried weightlifting. I tried so hard to get into weightlifting because my husband at the time was really into it. Like, when we were both in college, he went to the gym like every single day, 2 hours a day, like so into it. And I tried so hard and I just like couldn't get into it for whatever reason. I tried like all these other forms of exercise and I just really wasn't interested. And so then I tried yoga, like, let me just see. And I remember finding on YouTube like power yoga. And I was like, oh my God, I can get sweaty and do yoga. Like, this is great. Like, I'm not wearing shoes. I can do this at my apartment, but I can break a sweat and I can like feel like I'm actually doing exercise. Like, what a revelation. So that's where I started just doing that. And I felt like it was, to me, again, still very exercise-y. And then I think somewhere along the road, I don't know what got me into like, I want to teach and I want to learn more about this, because I was working at the time at a hospital. So like, my background, I went to college, I graduated in 2015 with a bachelor's in health education and I minored in public health. So like, again, very much like in the health world. Mm-hmm. And so I was working in a hospital at the time, but I was doing like injury prevention and it was for a children's hospital. So I was doing like car seats and bike helmets and things that like I didn't really care much about, but like, you know, it was a full-time job and whatever, whatever. So I was doing mm-hmm. that while I was doing yoga at my house. And somewhere along the line, there was a switch of like, I'm not really happy in this job. And like, here's this like yoga world that like, I knew someone from my high school who was a yoga teacher and I was like seeing her stuff on social media and I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I asked her like, how did you go about doing this? And she mentioned she went to this teacher training and, you know, kind of did all of that. I don't know, whatever the word is, like she did that. And then like, now she's a yoga teacher. So I was like, all right, well then maybe I should try doing that too. So then I think it was September of 2019 was when I started my yoga teacher training and I graduated that 200-hour program in December of 2019. And so then from there, and a lot of people, when they join a yoga teacher training, they basically just like, a lot of them want to teach, but a lot of people just do yoga teacher training to like further their own practice and like deepen their knowledge. Because mm-hmm. again, I think so many people just think that yoga is physical and they don't know that there's anything else that's going along with it. So I think the people who start practicing religiously are like, oh, there's more. And so like, let me learn about it. And so they join yoga teacher training for that sense. And so I was kind of both, like I wanted to learn more, but I also was like, well, maybe like teaching would be cool. And that's like a health, you know, education kind of related wellness sector that like, you know, I have a bachelor's in health education, but I don't really care about what I'm doing right now. Like maybe this can be like my niche. Mm-hmm. Like maybe I can find what I want to do, you know, with this thing. So then I graduated in 2019. But then at the time I was in between my hospital job and before I graduated yoga teacher training, I had accepted another like corporate job and it was even further away from health and wellness. I was working like insurance essentially. And it was so opposite. Yeah. So like, I was really like, there was a shift in my life. Like I was working at this hospital job and I was really unhappy. I was there for like 3 years and mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted to leave. And my sister at the time had a friend who worked at the company that I was working at, or, you know, the job that I ended up accepting. And it, Yes, they did the insurance like housing. Okay. And so what was cool for me was she's like, you know, they like the company, like, I don't know, they help people like when they have a fire or like when there's like a hurricane, like you help. And so like that was what was cool. Yeah. So it was like, so it was like housing for these families, but like it was insurance housing. So I was like talking to insurance adjusters and like doing leases for short-term housing for people, which again was like helping these families, but like, right.
But not super at all. Hands-on.
Very much just a desk job. Very much just like a, like really, it was way more insurance than like anything else. And again, fine job, whatever, but just like was even further away from what I cared about doing. But I was like, you know what?
Right.
I just graduated from yoga teacher training, but here I now have this new job. Like, I'm just going to focus on this new job and like yoga teacher training will kind of be on the back burner. Like, I've done it and like, that's great, but like, whatever. So fast forward to March of 2020, COVID happens, of course. And
Right. The big
year for everyone. So many people. I was one of the 10 million people at that week at the end of March that got laid off. And so I was trying to search for another full-time job. But again, I was one of 10 million who were trying to do the same thing. And so I would get responses back like, hey, thanks for your application, but we've received 400. And so like, we'll let you know. And so then it just became like a really impossible struggle of trying to find a job. Mm-hmm. So then I started Downward Cow as a separate Instagram because I just wanted to start taking yoga classes because I had free time every single second of the day. Mm-hmm. So I was doing yoga a lot and I just like wanted to share about it. And so I wanted a separate Instagram because I thought that it was going to be annoying for like my friends and family in my personal life for me to post yoga all the time. So that's
sorry, there's like this siren going on no, in it's the fine. Background. So you didn't start it as a business. It started as like a fun way to show your yoga journey. Yes. Oh my God. That's
exactly.
So cool.
So it really happened by not necessarily accident. Like when I got laid off, like I knew I was going to start like, you know, when the idea came in, I was like, I'm going to start this separate yoga page. But like, it was really just for me to post a lot and like start, you know, kind of like educating people on like the other limbs of yoga, whatever. But like, it was never a thing. It just was like, here's my separate Instagram page. And then I started getting more and more of a following and people started asking me like, oh, do you teach classes? And I was like, oh, no. Like I'm graduated December of 2019, but like I have not taught a class. I haven't practiced taught since graduation. This was, you know, probably like June of 2020, a few months after I got laid off. And I was like, I have no experience. Like, absolutely not. Like, I would love to, but like, I don't even know where to start. So I started eventually like teaching my sister and my husband, like just practicing the two of them. And then like another family friend, you know, would join and whatever. And it became this thing like, all right, like maybe I could actually teach some classes. Downward Cow as a name was still, you know, it still existed as an Instagram. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like I said, my husband came up with the name because my last name is Cowart. And, you know, because he's like, you know, not to be rude, he's like, because I love you and I love your body, but like I'm not a size 2 or a 4 or an 8. Like I am a bigger ish kind of person. And he's like, you can embrace that. Like you want to be like yoga body positive for all these people who may not feel that yoga is for them. So it kind of became this idea, but still was very personal just for me. And then I started teaching classes, you know, to a few people randomly here and there. And then I was like, you know what? I just am going to do this. Like, I can't find a job. I have been laid off for some time. And like, this is just maybe the reality of COVID and like of my story and what's going on. So like, businesses happen. Like, I can try to do this. Like, I've never once thought like I will have a business one day. I didn't go to business school. Like, I don't know what I'm doing essentially, but I was like, you know what? Let me just try. And my husband is self-employed and has been self-employed for a few years. And he has this, his own company that was at the time too, not really a thing until he was like, I can do this. And we did this, you know, as a couple a few years ago. And he is now doing very well as a self-employed person. So I was like, all right, like you can do it. Like, let's see if I can do this. So I literally, you know, became like an incorporated business in the state of Illinois. And I was still not knowing what the heck I was doing. And I still kind of don't know what the heck I'm doing, but you know, it became
figuring it out. Yes. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I would love to talk about that, but yeah. So I feel like it's, it became this accident that has since been this like really fulfilling journey that like I love when people message me like your class was amazing, it made me feel this, and like, or your mm-hmm. post was so insightful, I didn't know that, like you said, breathing was a yoga limb, or like I didn't know that there was more to yoga than just this, or I didn't know that like mm-hmm. you know, we could do yoga at a quarter of the price, you know, and it's still a quality class, or like whatever. Like it became this thing like, wow, like I am passionate about yoga, and I am passionate about health and wellness, and I'm passionate about making it accessible and relatable for people, and especially in COVID times, like from the comfort of your house. Like we yes. had no other option. Mm-hmm. I had no other way of doing classes in person because of COVID, and it ended up working out that like this can be this virtual business. Like I have students, I mean, you, for example, you don't live where I live, and now mm-hmm. we've connected and you've taken a class, and like, how cool is that? I would have never had you as a student otherwise, if I had a physical studio where I live. So like it became this thing, and now here we are today, which is just so awesome. And so I know that was an incredibly long-winded way of answering your first question, but I think we hit some points along the way, but like that's where I am now. And that's how Downward Cow, you know, came to be as this business, which is really yeah. a really cool story.
Oh my God. So first of all, I love tangents. So never apologize.
Oh, I appreciate you, because I literally was like, wow, I've been talking for a really long time and I just can ramble, and I have key points that I want to specify and say, but like, you know, things go out the window when I get passionate and I just start talking.
Oh my God. No, I love it. Like literally, I love having guests on the podcast, because I when I first started the podcast, I actually, it was called Cup of Jane, and I like did it by myself and it was just me.
Yeah.
Nice. And then I was like, you know what? I'm sick of talking. Like I want other people to come here and talk. And something that's just so fun is literally just sitting and listening to people talk about things that they're passionate about. Cause there is just like a certain magic of when someone is just really passionate about something and they start talking about it. So I love it. Do not apologize for that. I literally love it.
That makes me feel better.
So you've never taught in person. So it's been virtual the whole time. Do you ever think you'll teach in person?
I feel like I would love doing in-person teaching, because it would be another experience for me as a teacher, because I only know this virtual world. And, you know, I feel like I started my yoga journey virtually, of course, via YouTube, but like no one was on the other end, essentially. So like it was just this thing with just me and a screen. And so then when I started doing yoga classes in person, like my teacher training was totally in person. That was obviously, you know, prior to COVID world and everything, and mm-hmm. this community that is created when you're in this space with other humans and you're like moving and breathing and listening to music and doing all these things, like it feels so energetic and awesome. So like that is something that's really attractive to me, that like I would maybe one day love to teach. But I also feel like this virtual world has opened me up to, like I said earlier, so many more students and like opportunities that like a virtual or an in-person teaching experience wouldn't give me. So like I'm kind of on the fence. I don't really know. Right now the plan is to still stay virtual, at least for Downward Cow. It's going to probably, at least for the foreseeable future, be virtual always. Mm-hmm. As me, as a person, as a teacher on my own, like maybe I would pick up something, you know, if I wanted to teach in person, like get that experience too. But like, you know, right now I'm kind of sitting pretty. I do still have another part-time job that's not yoga related, because as I mentioned, my husband is self-employed. And when I got laid off, mm-hmm. I was not employed, and insurance in this country is incredibly expensive, especially for self-employed people. So your girl's a part-time Starbucks barista. So that's what I do.
Oh my God. Incredible.
Yes. So like that's what I do otherwise. So I feel like in terms of time, like I don't know if I would pick up another in-person thing just as like a side thing for myself.
Right.
Maybe one day that would be cool. But otherwise.
I was about to say, when COVID's over, I'm ready for the Downward Cow retreat. I'm going to fly my little booty to Chicago.
My God, that'd be amazing.
We'll have some Starbucks drinks.
Literally incredible. I would love that. And that's exact, because I feel like I have these virtual retreats where like it's a 2-hour thing that we like do a practice and we do a meditation and we do a journaling prompt and like we learn about manifesting or about the one of the aliens of yoga or like whatever. And it's all really cool and great. And again, awesome because it's virtual that like I can get people who I would have never met otherwise. But like there is something about this energy of being with other humans in person. And I would mm-hmm. love to do something like that. So I feel like I'm still in the process. I mean, this business, this Downward Cow is only 6 or 7 months old. So like you're still catching me at like a very crucial beginning stage of like, you know, what am I doing? Where can I go? Like, what do I want to do in the future with this? Like, you know, the possibilities are limitless, which is awesome. That's what's so cool about being your own, you know, boss and creating this like little baby that like you can do whatever you want with. But then it's also like, what do I want to do? Like, what can I do? Like, you know, I don't know. So all good questions.
Yeah. I do think that it is something that kind of came out of the pandemic for a lot of people, which yes. is like a good thing that came out of the pandemic was realizing that, you know, we don't have to be in jobs that we don't like. We can create jobs for ourselves and do things that we're passionate yes. about. And like the sky's really the limit once you get creative.
Absolutely. And that's something that's so cool. Like you said, the one good thing that came out of this horrific year was like, right, I think this, it's also maybe like a generational thing. Like people that are our age are definitely. Way more willing to like quit their 9 to 5 or at least just like quit the one 9 to 5 and move to some other 9 to 5 just because like they're not happy and like your happiness is not worth a job mm-hmm. that you hate. Like I think that's so telling to like the kind of generation that we are and like the things that we want to do.
Yeah. And I, with social media, I think like we see someone else doing it and it's like how you said with your yoga training, you know, someone else did it. That means that I
right,
can do
exactly.
that.
And so that's what I think is so mm-hmm. beautiful about that. So yeah, you included too with your business, like we're just starting and we have this freedom that's really cool, but it's also really scary. Like, what the heck are we actually doing? Like, I don't even know. I don't know what I'm doing.
I know, and we're entering the scary tax season, and I'm like, I don't know how to do taxes for myself.
I can't even explain. Like,
how to do them for myself, but not for
right. No, I have. I literally have no idea. I'm like looking up, like, what tax form? What do I need to do? Like, and then the nice thing yep. is, again, I have a husband who has had to do taxes for his self business, and so like. I have a little bit of a leg up because like he has done it, mm-hmm. but I don't know. And I'm like, I have a bank account that's like separate, but like, so like, is that fine? Like, what else do I need? Like, I literally don't know. So like, I get you. It's rough.
Yep. It's same. Hard. It's, you know, lots of Googling, yes. lots of Googling. cool. So I'm like scrolling through my questions a little bit. We kind of touched on like your inspiration to create Downward Cow. This is a good one. Okay. So let's move on to what are some challenges that came up with starting/running your own business?
Oh, I feel like the biggest challenge, as we've kind of touched on, is like, how do you run a business? how do you do yeah. this thing? Because like, I don't even know, like I said, I do not come from a business background, or at least the education that I had like is so unrelated. So like that was challenging personally to just like, how do I do this? And like, you know, setting up hours for myself and like creating a schedule and like all these things. Like I work really well on schedules and plans. And so like having a supervisor from an actual 9 to 5 job, like that was really helpful for me because I was like, all right, what tasks do you need me to do? And like, here we go. And like, now I have to do this on my own. And it's sometimes really challenging. Mm-hmm. But I also think just challenges coming with running this business is like getting this community to like trust me and know me and value me and like what I'm doing and putting out there, like creating this little group of the internet, because again, it's obviously all virtual. Like I want to house this little thing that like, you know, will accept and support and welcome any uncommon, quote unquote, uncommon yoga student, like someone who doesn't feel like yoga is for them, but like it is for you. And here I'm trying to create these things and make you feel welcome. So like, I feel like that's been a challenge, is just kind of like making sure that I'm upholding these values that I have and creating things that like will make people want to join and like make people think that like I have value. And like just content creating and all of these things is a world that like I didn't think that I would ever be in, and here I am. And I'm like, what
here you
what
are,
is happening?
Yeah.
Like I don't even know how to do, like I didn't realize. It's obviously all not, it's not like it's challenging work to create content, but like it is time consuming and it is editing is hard and like
yeah,
all these things.
Well, and you're doing like the whole like you're literally a one-woman
right,
show.
Absolutely. Right. And so that is such a, it's so time consuming and it's challenging to know like, am I going to put something up that's actually going to be valuable or something that's going to be shareable or something that people are going to care about, or like, am I going to put something out and it's going to flop and then it's like a waste of time. Like, so yeah, it's a lot of just like back and forth on like what works, mm-hmm. what doesn't work, what like do I think people will care about, like what will get people in the door, because I feel like, and now you have taken a class of mine, so like you have an idea of the style that I teach and like just like what it's all about. Like I feel like I need to just get people to the door and then like they'll know like, okay, this is something that's cool, it's unique, it's a little bit different than like a regular yoga class or a studio or like whatever, like this is something that I vibe with, but like I feel like I need to just get people to be there in order to feel that, mm-hmm. and it's just like getting people to the door. And I'm sure it's the same with your business, like you have to get people
yeah,
to
definitely.
Come and like it's just the challenge
right.
of getting people to come
the product
right
yeah.
And so like that's the one thing that's been I've literally said that from the beginning, since knowing that I was going to turn this personal yoga diary into a business, mm-hmm. like I just need to get people to come and like see what it's all about and then hopefully have them decide like this is something that's worth it. But like it's just like if yeah. people don't come, you know what I mean, like so that's the one thing that's like it's frustrating sometimes and it's kind of like disappointing.
Yeah,
you're making all these things and then like if people don't show up, you're like, cool, like am I not cool? You know?
Right. I feel like that's just the struggle of like being a small business or like, you know, not coming from like a big following. Like I feel like if an influencer starts a business, you know, they can
right.
take off really quickly because people already like know right. and trust them. But yeah, definitely coming from like a smaller
well,
following.
Well,
right.
I mean, I literally,
that's the challenging
absolutely.
Part.
Downward Cow, the Instagram that is currently where it is, had zero followers. Like I had literally no one. And so that's what's so, mm-hmm. yeah, like, it's not like, you know, not only you're an influencer and you have this beautiful community that already believes in you, but like, yeah, if you're no one, not like you're no one, but like, you know, you're
right,
essentially
but
right,
on the
internet, you're no one. And then all of a sudden you're trying to get people to follow you and trust you
and to give you
right,
money.
And you're like, oh my God. And then it's so, that's what's so hard too. Like I have such a hard time because again, my whole thing too, with at least yoga is like, I want to make it accessible. I want to make people like not have to pay a lot. Like I want more people to be able to access yoga because I think the Western culture has made it this thing that's like this beast that's expensive and it's like whitewashed and it's like whatever. Like I want people to like come to me and like I want to be here with open arms, but it's like I still have to charge and I'm like, so that makes me uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. so like, yeah, it's just like a whole thing. That's a little, it's challenging, but you know what? Again, we're rolling mm-hmm. with it. We're going to figure it out. Like it'll be fine.
Well, for what it's worth, I think you're doing a great job with
you.
All of those things. And I could definitely like understand what Downward Cow is just from your social media.
That.
So
okay,
for
good.
What it's worth.
Makes me feel like I'm doing
and
something.
And on
right.
that, I do. Oh, you are for sure. But I also want to jump on like, what does make Downward Cow different for people who don't know? Why is this different from another yoga class?
Yeah, I feel like, so in terms of the class itself, so like what I do, not only am I cueing verbally so many different variations of like a yoga pose that you can do, like I feel like a lot of times in regular traditional yoga studios where there's this like thin white woman who's teaching the class, like again, all beautiful things, like it works. And I have taken classes from people who look like that and still had an enjoyable experience. But like there's people who say like, you know, if you want to take the fullest extension of this pose, do this. And you're like, well, if I can't do that, am I not doing the pose? Like, am I not doing this right? Like, is this not mm-hmm. for me? And so like, I think that the verbiage in class alone is really huge to make people feel like if you can't touch your toes, that's fine. You're not doing it right. As long as you feel this in the correct area, you're doing it right. Or like, if you want to play around with a headstand or the splits or something like that, by all means, when the music is on for yours to play around, and I'll talk about that in a second, like that's, mm-hmm. that's your time to play. And like, that's not in my practice, but if it's in yours, cool. And like, so making people feel like, you know, at least the teacher can't even do this. So like, I don't have to feel pressure to like, feel like I have to do this. Or,
and you know what, when I was taking your class, because I like yoga, like I've taken yoga in other classes, and I always actually, and I've never thought about this, felt pressured to like take the
fullest quote unquote extent.
Harder, right?
Yes. Yep. And I actually like was thinking about when I took your class, I was like, wow, I just feel like that was so chill and I absolutely could just like do what I wanted to do.
Right. And that's exactly that's my goal. And I'm so thrilled to hear that like that's how it came across and that's how you felt it, because truly, like I said, I have taken classes like that where like you do feel pressure, but like at the end of the day, you try to push it aside. You're like, whatever, like I'm going to do what I can do and like, it'll be fine. But like, it's the verbiage that like already eliminates a large group of humans that like, if they can't do that, then it makes them feel unworthy. Or like they walk into a studio and they walk into a class and there's this, again, stick skinny person, not that that's a bad person. And again, humans like that who look like that still exist, but like,
no, here I know I what am. You mean though, but when when it's every single time and there's nothing different.
Right. And so like, here I am, this person that doesn't look like that. And so I feel like that's already welcoming as well. Like for people who are in larger bodies don't have accessibility in other ways, like it makes them feel like, okay, well, like if this girl can do it, like definitely maybe I can do it. And so like that in its own unique way is one way. And then also in the class in general is like we practice when you did it with me, we cue through verbally and then we cue through that, like whatever sequence that we do, like we have either 3 or 4 sequences depending on the class. I cue through it twice. We do it together. I'm doing it with you on camera. And then I stop talking and I turn music up as loud as it goes. And then you have the chance to flow through the sequence that we did or eliminate movement or add other movements or just straight up play with handstands or lay down in a child's position. You literally have the choice to do whatever your body is telling you that it needs when the music is on. And so I feel like it gives you a lot of freedom that a lot of yoga classes don't actually offer you, because often, you know, the music is just playing softly in the background and it's like waterfalls and birds chirping. Like, here I am. Say,
we need to talk about the music.
Yes, like I play like Taylor Swift, but I also play like
Ariana Grande.
Yeah, like, I play rap music. Like, I play things that like get you pumped, but then like I play soft music, you know, when it's supposed to be soft and relaxing in class. So like, right, there's this music that I feel like it makes you feel like you're practicing at your own house, like by yourself. Like when, if you ever do yoga alone and like you're at your house, you just truly put on music and you just start like moving around and letting it feel good. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. And it just matters how it feels. And like, so that's exactly the kind of experience in the class that I'm trying to get out there. And I'm, like I said, I'm so glad to hear that like it does come across that way, because right, like I let you have freedom. You have so much time to flow on your own and take whatever your body needs. And you don't have to worry about making the fullest extension. Like, I've never said that once in a class, because like that doesn't matter. And like, I play, like you said, Ariana Grande, and I play rap music and I play all these things that like, it's just like more fun. And like, it makes it way less, I feel like, stereotypical and like traditional. And not that that's bad, like those are great classes, but I just feel like this is what makes it unique. And I think that that's what I want people to know, that like, right, when you come to the door, this is what you can expect, not only in fun ways, but like the freedom, I think, is what's really a huge part. Like, you can do the sequences that we're cueing through together, but at the end of the day, you're the best teacher for yourself. You know your body better than I do. I can give you this timeline or even like this outline rather of what the class is looking like. But like, if you want to take it in any other direction, like go fly, like do whatever you want to do, because like at the end of the day, this practice is sacred for you on your mat, and the experience is going to be whatever you need it to be. And if it looks different from one class to another, like that's great. Like that's you exploring the movement and the connection with your body and breathing and all these things. Like that's what's so cool about it. And so I think not giving people freedom kind of already just like slashes that opportunity. And so I think like, that's what I want to convey. Like, you can do truly whatever you want. And here we are welcoming you in this space.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Yes to all of that.
I love it.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. Good. So good. So on the flip side, so we talked about like the most challenging part right before this. So on the flip side, I want to talk about what is the most rewarding part of this whole thing.
Truly, I think helping people learn about yoga and know that there's way more than just this physical form of movement, but there's all these other things that can make you, you know, a yogi or like a yoga student or like whatever, like you can do all these other things. You don't have to be limited to only doing physical poses, because if you're like wheelchair bound, I don't want you to feel like you can't breathe, do breathing exercises and meditate. Like that is still yoga. So like just educating people that there's way more to it than just physical practice, but then also in this physical practice, helping you love the practice and like love your body and accept like where you are today as you're moving. Like I try so hard to be conscious of saying like, wherever you are today, if you can reach for your toes and touch them, awesome. And if you can't, just give yourself grace and accept that like this is where you are right now, and that's perfectly okay. Like you, your experience, like everything that you're doing right now is totally valid and beautiful in its own way. Like you don't have to feel that you're unworthy of doing yoga or experiencing this life-changing movement and, you know, this connection. Like you can do as much or as little as your body is telling you that it needs to today, and you can accept where you are, and you can love your body and believe that there's this community here for you that, like, you know, will accept you. Because I think, unfortunately, in the fitness world or even in the wellness world, like, again, as we've been talking about, like there's so many limits on so many different things that unfortunately force people to feel like they are not accepted and they're not a part of it. And if they don't look or talk or have this money or whatever, like in this way, that they're, it's just not for them. And that's just not true. And so I feel like the most rewarding part is getting messages from people who say like, thank you for this class. Like, I learned something that I never knew, or like I finally did this pose because like you cued it in a way that like has never been cued for me to before, or like whatever the heck. Like that's what I think is so rewarding. And so like we said, like I want, you know, I need obviously people to pay me for these services or whatever, but like the
right, it's right, a business.
The most rewarding part is like getting these messages that are free, like that people are just sending me. Like that to me is so meaningful, and like that is what I want to continue, you know, in the future, obviously growing financially, but also like growing this community that people like really value me and what I'm saying and like all these things is just like so, so, so cool.
Yeah. So kind of in that same vein, I read on your website, at like the end of your About Me page, it said that you blend yoga, health education, and fitness inclusivity through Downward Cow. And so I want you to just speak on that a little bit about how you go about doing that.
Yeah. I feel like, and again, I feel like I'm sounding like a broken record, but since we've talked about these and, you know, your girl can say a million things in a million different ways. Like, I think having this, the yoga education part and health education, that like yoga is so much more than this physical practice. And also like inclusivity in the way that people don't have to look a certain way or have so much money or have a certain status or whatever in order to do it. And like, make people have this community where they feel like they can be accepted and whatever. I feel like I try to have this like big little like cauldron of like, here are all these goodies, like come on in and join us. And I think like that, because there's such a lack of representation, I think, in the yoga space for these inclusive things, that like, I am here to try to tell you, like, I'm here to break the stigma that you think it's this thing and it's this one way, and it's like totally not. And so like, I just want to like have people really just join this community where they can feel that like, oh, this is not what I thought it was, and it can be so much better.
Yeah. And on that, I do want to talk about body representation, not just in yoga, but in the fitness wellness industry, just as a whole. So why do you think that there is such a lack of representation there?
Oh, I feel like that's a loaded question.
That's a very loaded question.
I feel like that's a loaded question. And I feel like, unfortunately, as we kind of talked about, like it is the way of society in this country. And I mean, even just globally, I mean, I think there's racism and fat phobia and wealth and power, like all of these things are stemming that there is, you have to look this way and be this color and make this much money and do all these things in order to have this lifestyle. And I think wellness, like we've said earlier, like wellness and fitness is this like thing that people think is like so unattainable. Like you are living like a god if you can have a yoga membership and you can drink green juice and you can do all these things. Like it is like the epitome of like beauty and power. And like, if you don't look that way and you can't afford those ingredients or you can't do whatever, like you are not healthy. You cannot ever be healthy. And like that. So that's unfortunately where I think all of this difference, these differences are kind of stemming from. Like, if you can't look this way, then that's it. Then that's not for you. And I think, again, we as a American kind of white powered society want people who don't look like us or, you know, don't have the things that we have, make them feel like, well, then it's not for you. Like, sorry, white people only. And mm-hmm. I think that that's just, it's so unfortunate. And again, it's hard coming from a white person. Like, I am a white person. So like, I have had to learn all of my bias and all these things and ways that I can be better for like the community that I'm trying to create. But yeah, I mean, I think that that's like literally where it comes from. And I think that it's, mm-hmm. it's so much pushed in media and everywhere that like, it's such a hard thing to unlearn for yourself yeah. and for, you know, the people who are trying to come to you, for them to feel that they're valid and like that, for them to feel like they can actually come to you and they can actually be a part of your community, because systemically years and years and years have told them that they can't. And so I feel like that's what I'm just trying mm-hmm. to, you know, break as well. Like, you can be black or brown or purple, you can be a million pounds or 1 pound, like you can make no money or $1 million. Like, I'm trying to welcome you in as much ways that I can. And I hope that that comes across that way.
Yeah. And I think you're so right about how, you know, these are things that are ingrained in us from a young age. And you mentioned the, like, marketing, or you didn't say marketing, but you said media. Mm-hmm. So like, media and marketing within that just pushes that idea so much on right. us. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. Just like, when you start to tune into it, like, then it's like when you learn a new word and then you see it yes. everywhere, you know, and then you're just like, holy yep. shit. Like,
yeah, right. Like, this is happening right now. And like, what can I do to make it a little bit better on my little corner of the internet or this little community? Like, mm-hmm. what can I do to make things a little bit better for humans? Because like, we are living in a rough time, or just in general, we've always lived in rough times. Like, I want everyone to feel like, you know, I am doing hopefully my part and hopefully welcoming the people who normally don't feel welcomed.
And what do you feel like we as consumers and as business owners can do to sort of break this cycle of the lack of representation?
Yeah, I feel like as business owners, like, we just have to continue showing up in the wellness space and pushing accessibility and pushing representation and making people see, especially in the media. Like, I feel like social media is such an incredibly powerful beast that, like, already by one brand showing a person that is a different size or a different color or whatever will show other humans or like children, like, oh, I can be a part of this because like that person looks like me, or that person does these things like I do. So like, that makes me feel like, you know, I can do these things, and that the younger generations hopefully will like believe they'll never have the issues that we've had thinking like we can't be or we can't do or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think being as business owners, we continue to show up and continue to push the boundaries and tell people that like, here is an accessible, hopefully welcoming space, and we want you to be a part of it. And I think as consumers, like, we don't try, you know, to feed into the culture. Like, do we not feed into diet culture mm-hmm. or like racism, or like, you know, we try to shop small or and support local humans, like do these things that like that really try and like take down this, again, I keep saying beast, but like, it's kind of what it is. Like, trying
yeah, it
to
is,
make
yeah.
it, you know, as a consumer too, like feeling like you can support the people who are also being business owners who are trying to push mm-hmm. this representation, like supporting those people and not supporting the ones who are not so inclusive. Because at the end of the day, like, we all want to be made to feel like we can be a part of something. And I think inclusivity is just, it's huge. And I think as business owners and as consumers, doing these things will just hopefully continue pushing in a better direction.
Yeah, I think especially as a consumer, you know, it's so easy to feel like, well, I'm just one person, like, I can't make a difference by, you know, just choosing to shop somewhere else or buy from someone else. But there's so much power in numbers.
Absolutely.
So like, yeah, you as one person probably aren't going to make that much of a difference, you know, if you don't buy from these big corporations.
But if you and 10 of your friends don't buy from these corporations, and then 10 of their friends, you know, so it really is the power of the numbers there. So my last question for you is, what advice do you have for the uncommon yoga student on a fitness journey?
I feel like, in a way, like, this is kind of how I did it to start, and I wish that someone had told me, because I feel like I would have gotten to where I am a lot faster, is, like, use your resources. Like, take the free YouTube classes, practice on, like, cheap stuff, like, start following people for free, you know, on social media, if you have that, like, who look like you, who make you feel good, who make you feel supported, like, who do all these things that, like, make you raise your vibration. If you're, like, a manifesting person, like I am, like make you feel like you are on top of the world, because there are so many people and so many things that make us feel crappy. And I feel like we, as a society, like, are made to feel that, like, we need to feel crappy, because then here we are, buy these things that don't make you feel crappy anymore. And it's like, no, that's not how we're supposed to let this work. Like, I think being able to start using resources that can actually bring you to a place that makes you feel supported. Like, I think, like I said, if that was for me, I would have been able to get to this place now, because, like I said, I was doing yoga and everything was fine and dandy, but, like, I never felt a community until I literally started the Downward Cow page as a personal thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think just, like, find your space. Like, there's a space for you. So just, like, find it and, like, hold on to it, because, like, there are people in this world and on the internet that, like, will make you feel good. And I think, like, you and I are people who are like that. Like, we have these little platforms that hopefully make people feel good. And I think there's a lot of things that don't make people feel good. So, like, find your little community that makes you feel good. And that way, then you can see how they practice yoga and, like, what are the things that they can do. And hopefully they provide value and educate you on things that, like, will make you have a better journey on whatever the journey is going to look like.
Yes, I love that. And I want to add to that a little bit for the people who look like me, who are thin and white and cisgender. Like, this year, I like made it a mission to follow people who do not look like me. And that has changed my perspective on so many things. It has changed my fitness journey, my outlook on, like, I would say, like, a year ago, I was definitely the person who was probably like, oh, you're not strength training? Interesting.
Right.
Like, you know, but it's because I honestly was so blind. Like, I just did not know that it wasn't accessible for people. Like, I was so
100%
that, and I do think that that is just so important, to be following people, especially if you are in a majority, to follow people who are just different than you and learn different perspectives and open your freaking mind to learn something
and
new.
Literally, I like feel that on such a high level, because I mean, I'm very similar to you, other than, like, our size. We have different sizes, of course, but, like, otherwise I'm the exact same as you. Like, I am a white person. I am cisgendered. I am all of these, you know, quote unquote normal things, which is such a shitty way of describing it. But, like, I feel like this last year in COVID times and in just, like, what's happening in, like I said, racism and in the media and all these things, like, it has truly opened my eyes and made me, like, wow, like, even I, as a quote unquote fat person, like, have been this body my whole life and have not felt accepted in fitness and in the wellness space, but, like, in every other facet of my life am accepted. I'm like, oh, wait, like, there are so many other facets of life that you can't be accepted. And, like, how horrible is that? Like, let me hopefully be this page for you to turn to, where I can accept you as every part of you. Like, you don't have to just be a fat person to follow me. You can be any kind of person. And, like, hopefully I make you feel a part of that. And, like you said, the same thing as a personal page, I am trying to follow people who are not like me, like you said, to get perspectives and to, like, become just, like, a better human, because, like, that's all we're trying to do here is become better.
That's right? All we're, like, trying to
we're
do
not here is just to not be better. Like, day, who are you to just, like, be stagnant the whole time? Like, we are evolving beings. And I think it's so crucial to be evolving, like, to put in the work to evolve. And then to also, as business owners, like you said, to show up and have the representation and accessibility and open-mindedness for people to, you know, hopefully join you as well, so that you're not one of the people that like no one wants to be a part of, because then you ain't doing your job.
Exactly. I love that. Oh, what a great,
yeah, right, thanks.
I just want to I'd want you to shout out where people can find you, so go ahead and shout out like your username and your website where people can sign up for a class.
Yes. All the, okay, so I, of course, Downward Cow. My Instagram is downward_cow. My website, downwardcow.com. On there and on my Instagram, like my link in bio, which is just hilarious because like I never thought I would be one to say like link in bio, you know, like
link in bio.
My link in bio has all of my links to like the booking my retreats or my classes or like events, things of that nature. I also have a YouTube channel, which I mean is pitiful. Like I have maybe like 30 followers. It's not, I'm not like trying to grow on YouTube. I just like have a few free resources, like 15-minute classes for whatever. So like if you want to try it a little teaser instead of having to book a full class, like those are options too. Just Downward Cow Yoga on YouTube. But yeah, I mean, just look up the cow. I literally, in all my things, it's literally a cow. Like that's the logo. I embrace the cow.
It's so cute. Thank it's you. Such a cute
my
logo.
My husband is a graphic designer. He's the one that made it. Yeah. Oh. So he has credit for literally everything. He created the name and he created the logo. Like he has done all the branding. Like
that's awesome.
So yeah. So it is, I have embraced the cow in every way. I literally posted a story yesterday because I am making like merch and people have been ordering, and I literally like filmed the merch like on my bed the other day, and I literally put a cow like mooing, like just ridiculous. And people messaged me because it was so loud and they were like, oh my God, like I spit out my tea as I was like listening to that, because like, you know, you never have like your sound on, and then they turned it on and it was a giant moo. Right. Like it was just insane. So yeah, I've embraced the cow. That's where you can find me, any cow related things, and just come join me. We are a fun little part of the internet and fun little yoga classes, and it's a good time.
It's super fun. I highly, highly recommend you guys take a class.
So kind.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, Joanna. This was so great.
This was truly wonderful. Loved every second.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I told you that you would love Joanna. She's incredible and has such a refreshing perspective on life and on yoga. And if you love Joanna's teachings, you love her philosophy on yoga, she just announced Downward Dog Academy. This is a great way to learn more about yoga. A lot of these things are only taught to people if they're doing the yoga training, like becoming a yoga teacher. And she's offering this information for literally anyone who wants to learn it. So go check that out. I know I'm definitely interested in doing it. And so if you are too, I will see you there. And I'm excited to grow in my own yoga practice and really just in life. Like I feel like the way that she's teaching it takes it beyond yoga. Oh my God, I think Beyond Yoga is an athletic wear brand. Anyway, she truly takes it like beyond just the movement and really brings it into this is how you can use this practice in your daily life, which I always appreciate and love. So thank you again for listening. If you enjoyed this interview, be sure to leave a review, and I will see you guys next week.